guys. It's me, Johnny, and with me I have DJD and Farmer.
Howdy.
What's going on, everybody?
And yeah, we know exactly what we're talking about. We're totally ready. And yes, you're right. And sitting there in the back, we've got Craig. What's up, Craig? I don't think we've done that in a while where we like specifically have called out Craig.
Yeah, I mean, he gives us the silent treatment. That's all you can say.
Yeah.
The other day in the ANAV meeting, we have a weekly ANAV meeting. Caitlin was making ANAV members in The Sims. And she made Craig, even though he's not a member of an AV.
Oh, boy.
Not yet. Maybe someday. You know, I mean, has to be unanimous, though. So, I mean, we'll see.
I was hoping to jump in last night, but it didn't work out. But I'm interested to see all these Sims. Do you have a picture of
I don't have a picture, no. But, like? you know that Craig. He's got a mouth on him.
Describe it. Describe. How was she actually designing all of us is what I want to know.
Well, she designed me and Chiho. I don't want to say everybody. She designed me and Chiho.
Oh, okay. Now we get it. Okay, we weren't included.
And Craig.
Yeah. She did Craig before she did David and I. Wow.
I know.
I mean, Craig has made more episodes than you have, Farmer.
But also, to be fair, but he's I think that means Craig is an ambassador now. He's like the new ANAV ambassador. But
before too long, he'll be a team lead. Okay, got it.
A couple of big developments, you guys, and these are personal developments. We can get into actual current news. One, it's my birthday. We are recording on
my birthday, by the way,
in Japan.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
I posted in the ANAV Discord the wonderful quote from Bilbo. I am old, Gandalf. I may not look it, but I feel it in my heart.
Happy birthday to you.
And today my family and I, we went to look at a house. We're going rent a bigger house. This is my third time there. The landlord was there. He was very nice and really just wants us to move in. Like, all of my questions he said yes to, you know, of like, can we do this? What about this?
That's like a first for you guys, right?
It's a huge thing. Like, he's like super chill. On one hand, they were like, he doesn't want to, like, if stuff breaks, he wants us to take care of it. Like, he doesn't want to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's nice, actually.
But I was like, do you want us to, like, call you if it breaks, though? And he was like, no. Like, really? He wants to be the least involved possible. And that's for me, I'm kind of about it. I'm kind of excited about that he just like is like, do whatever. Yeah, that's fine. Hands and he like showed me a handful of specific things. Some people brought up, is there anything wrong with the house? Like, is that why he's like acting this way? He just wants to pass it off. But he's not selling the house. He's renting it. Right. So it's like, no, he wants to keep the house. I think he just wants to generate some income from it, you know,
and then not have to deal with like the being a landlord, essentially.
least amount possible, he wants
a less overhead but still generating something, which is good, because that means
it's good for me.
You'll get to feel what it's like to own a house. That's gonna be amazing.
Well, that, and he seems super nice. You know, it's a big house, and we were talking, he didn't give a ton of information about himself, but he's clearly like in that empty nest stage of life, right? Like, they got this big house, his kids are grown up and moved out. You know, like, he doesn't want to come back to the big house. He's living in some other place. And so we'll see. But
well, that's awesome.
I'm going to sign some contracts this week, I think. And the only thing about it that's not awesome is in Japan, like, the upfront cost of moving is super high. They have like, they call it a deposit, but it's not really a deposit because it's like a deposit that you don't get back. Period. It's a gift to your landlord. And it's usually like an extra month's rent, you know, so we're looking at like in local currency, something like maybe $5,000 to move in. That would be on the lower side of it. So it's going to be expensive. Mm. But it's a sweet place and I need a bigger house. So I'm super excited.
Need space for that inspiration.
Well, that and, you know, we just need space just to, like, live.
Yeah.
Just
true.
It's not just.
It's nice to not be on top of each other.
Jay and, you know.
And Bethany anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was one of the things, too. He's super chill about Chiho living with us, and he's super chill about, like, my young children possibly destroying things, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd have to because, you know, I don't know if they had children or anything, but I mean, just knowing that going in that, you know, you have more than one child, it's going to happen.
Well, that and one of the things that he just seems to like our family. That's one of the other things he really likes.
Yeah.
You know, that. So, guys,
and
that's maybe
really, really cool because he's entrusting you guys with his house, you know,
yeah,
that you guys.
And it's a sweet place. It's sweet farm. Oh, and that's the other thing. This studio, look, it's the visual bit. Yeah. It's the visual bit here, guys.
Pictures.
This studio here that I've been renting for 2 years now, I will be moving out of the studio. The house is big enough that we will be moving the studio into the house.
Yeah, nice.
Which
is really cool.
Actually am really happy about that. I'll be able to be home. You know, I brought my Xbox back home. And Johnny's been playing Marvel Rivals. He's a Jeff the Shark main. Jeff the Land Shark.
Oh,
no. He's a Jeff the Land Shark main. We've been playing together. And
we should all play sometime.
I'm going to make a comment here.
Almost like
that game runs better on the Xbox Series X than it does on my Steam Deck. Way better. It runs faster, like the loading times, like in between matches and stuff, way faster on the Series X than it is on my Steam Deck.
I wouldn't have necessarily expected that, actually. I mean, though the Series X is pretty powerful, so, I mean, it does kind of make sense.
It is fairly powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful, there also isn't, like, there is cross-play, but there's not cross-progression, right? So I bought a skin on the Steam, like, I'm locked in to the Steam Deck. I got to play on the Steam Deck.
Yep.
I bought a skin. Johnny, I bought him a skin. He likes Jeff the Land Shark so much. I bought him a skin already. So we're committed. When I left the house, he was playing.
He's locked in on your Xbox now, and you're not getting that back.
Well, one of the things we don't like is we don't want him to take over our living room. But if the studio moves into the house in April, you know, I've got another TV in the studio, so he could go to the studio to play. That'll be sweet. Farmer, there's a wood-burning fireplace, or wood-burning stove, so we can, have a nice...
You go out and chop some
heated thing
from firewood, like, and split firewood like I used to all the time.
I'm going to just buy it, man. I'm just going to pay for it. Yeah. You know, I say that to people.
That's my strategy, too.
I say that to people, and like people who have like wood burning anything, they're like, oh yeah, I'll take you around. Look, you can get it for free here. I'm like, so let me get this straight. I need to buy a chainsaw. I need to buy an axe. I need to drive around and find free wood, bring that wood home. I then need to chainsaw it and then chop it. Then I need to store it for like at least a year in a dry space. And then I could burn it. I'm like, or I could spend like $200 and buy a ton of wood that'll last me like half the winter. And they're like, yeah, definitely the free. That's the better. Definitely go the free
Go with the free, because then you get all the tools, man, and feel like a man. And then you're splitting wood and you feel like a man.
Why,
and then you get to stack it up.
Why spend $200 on wood when I can spend $1,000 on tools and countless hours of my time to get it for free? Right? Like, why? Yeah. Why even do it?
Yeah. Fair enough. It depends on what you know, you deem worthy of your time. That is true. There is only so much time, so you definitely have to figure that out, for sure.
That could be one of my son's chores, though.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have kids for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, back in the good old days, you had a lot of kids because they would work on the farm, right? That was the ideal.
But the more labor you get out of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, but yeah, how are you guys? It's February 2nd here, February 1st in America. How was January? January just flew by for me.
It really did.
Oh, man. It really did.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, was there January?
Yeah, right. I have an album that came out, I guess. There's that, too. That just happened a couple days ago. I had an album drop. you know, all man, it's already February. It's a lot. It's my birthday and I've been working. I'm all day. Like, it's just brutal, man. Brutal.
We're back to the visual bit, and all I can see is "be right back" on David. So will he
I know
come
David's
back?
Not showing his his face on the video. You guys, it just says "be right back."
I have a shortcut key tethered to like some of my scenes, and so every now and then I'll accidentally hit one of them, and it'll just change.
Did he mean to do that? Okay, that
no,
that
almost
that
never.
Question.
Yeah,
I thought he did that because he like actually left. I'm going to be totally honest.
No, I mean, he did. He did leave, but then
I did not.
He came back.
I did not.
I guess he didn't leave.
Yeah,
we just thought when that screen came up, it's like, oh, what's David doing?
We'll stay on the visual bit. So what I said was, I'm like, right, D, and then it was like, be right back, and I was like, here we go. Did he lose connection? I don't know.
But yeah, no, like, I mean, I absolutely prefer paying for things as opposed to wasting my time doing them.
You know, and we can get into it here of like, oh, but like, it's better to just pay for it. But like, also, we should discuss, like, that's someone's job. Like, someone has a business where they do that.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I don't mind paying more. I'll have less money in my pocket, but I'm also like paying someone who is a business owner, like, and they can have a livelihood and they can have, you know, something like that. And I know that like there's a whole conversation there, but I think sometimes, you know what, sometimes you don't have to do it for free. Sometimes you can just
Pay someone else to do it. Not as free as you might think it is.
I mean, right. It's about priorities. It's about like what you're willing to pay for as opposed to like what you're not when it comes down to it. And like sometimes, like, you know, you don't want to
pay for it
eating out every day. And like sometimes, yeah.
Exactly. And when you pay sometimes for you make something, sandwiches. You're yeah. sacrificing,
right,
one thing or another. You know, it's like you're trading out your time. Like, I totally get what you're saying, because like when you're, I mean, I've done the work. When you're in the throes right. of like getting all the wood and stacking all the wood and then storing all the wood, I mean, that is a lot of work. When you're already doing it, you already do it and you don't think about it. But when you're the one actually having to do all that work, and then you have all this other stuff, like, let's say right. music that you're trying to write, or another job you're trying to do, or you like to read. It cuts into your read time. You know, I mean, it depends on what
unless
you want.
Unless you do audiobooks and you're listening while you're chopping.
Audiobooks. I don't know who does that, because not me. Not anymore.
Why not? What happened? You're our audiobook guy. What happened?
Yeah, I'm the audiobook guy who hasn't listened to any audiobooks in a long time.
I started reading the next book in the Expanse series. But I'm going to be honest, not that motivated, because I finished Wind and Truth, the ending of Arc 1 for the Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, Book 5. That book has emotionally devastated me.
Yeah.
I've like not been able to, like, I've not been as interested in reading and stuff. I've had to like actually just take time and just sit with it. And before people get weird about it, I will say this. It's been, so I finished it in January 2025. Right, it came out in 2024, but I finished it in 2025. I've been I've been reading that arc for 15 years.
That's,
you know,
wild.
Before I got
that's
married.
Kind of crazy.
Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Way of Kings, the first book in that story, came out in 2010, and wow. I read it right when it came out. You know,
wow. That's
and so, like, for wait. Well, for the ending of an arc too, you know, because like the last book, Book 4, it wasn't like the end of like this story arc, right? It was still really great.
Well, you're starting to feel it though, I'm sure, on that
it's kind of hard to say goodbye.
Yeah,
you know, it's like an Avengers Endgame kind of a thing, right? Like, you're just like, oh man, like, we've been with these characters for a long time, and no spoilers,
you
kind of
want to stay in the middle, you know,
you get into a situation where you're like,
yeah,
we're not all going to get through this. Or like, don't you love that when you're watching a movie or you're reading a book or there's some kind of story and you realize, you're like, there's not going to be a happy ending here.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that mm-hmm. like we're going to get through this with no sacrifice. And I guess that's the
casualties. Yeah.
That's a good story, right? Sacrifice. Sure. Frodo and Sam both survived, but Frodo lost his finger. Right.
Well, and he kind of lost himself though. throughout the whole thing, you know?
And he ended up having
really
to leave.
Recovered. Yeah. He ended up having to leave because
like literally, the trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
But but still of that, like you realize that, oh man, there's going to be sacrifice. Oh man, maybe our heroes aren't going to make it through this one completely unscathed like you would hope. And having that realization for me is so, it's really moving, right? Like to get into that kind of stuff. You talk about, I could talk about that for a while, but this book has scarred me.
It's emotional funny that you bring up the Lord of the Rings because we just went through all.
You just listened to it on an audiobook.
I watched for the first time all three of the extended editions with my son, and so Enix.
I did that recently too. Did he love it?
Really good. No, yeah, he really liked it. But me going through each movie and knowing where I was when I first saw them, and then those ending tracks and just the score, like it was getting to me. Like, oh man, each ending of each movie, because we had to wait, you know, when they came out a whole year.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I remember those when the credits rolled, like they were all the songs are so good.
They're so beautiful.
And it's just like right on the heartstrings. And then, and like any good thing that you really like are really a huge fan of, and you just really enjoy so much, you don't want it to end, but there has to be an end.
Yeah.
And it's kind of tough.
But actually made a Lord of the Rings reference yesterday, like unprompted. We were all talking about something and he referenced Frodo losing his finger specifically. He was like, oh, that reminds me of a Hobbit. And he like went like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. Yeah.
Now you're on the same page with us nerds.
No, well, with that,
it's like passionate. It's like all the Sanderson people like quoting like freaking like Kings all the time.
Yeah. Journey Before Destination, bro. That's like my favorite response of any, like, well, what about a Journey Before Destination, dude?
Find the words that only one can say or whatever.
Yeah. My friends recently finished Wind and Truth, but just to give another point of view, she didn't like it. She actually thinks that the series should have ended at book three. She didn't like four. She didn't like the ending. And she's like, I'm done with the Cosmere. Isn't that crazy, D? Someone's just like, and she was like, I liked it more before the world hopping. I liked it more before all of these interconnected things. I don't like that. I'm done. And I was shook. That's like saying, and there's nothing wrong with this. That's like being like, listen, I don't like the MCU. I just like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. That's it. That's right. All I like.
Yeah. 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 It's very much like that.
There's definitely people like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the hard part is that they're just wrong. Right. The hard part is that they're wrong, and the hard part is that
they can exist like, in their own fan base. I guess
we like stories to have like a certain ending and closure because life's not like that, right? There is no happily ever after. Like life continues on; it's a continuing story, and there is something really cool about seeing heroes or seeing like these characters you love. It's like okay. But yeah, what happens after the big thing, you know? Okay, yeah. So we just went through the end of the world. We're all still here. Now what? There is something about that to me that I like, the continuation of stories. I do kind of understand being like, this would have been a good ending, and I wish they would have ended it here, because like my imagination was better. But I don't know. I just kind of disagree. Like,
actually I was just talking about this the other day because I finally finished Immortals of Avium, and everything gets wrapped up really neatly, and one of the remarks I made upon finishing that game was like, I really appreciate that in stories, with how like it's not like real life, but it does like wrap everything together, like everything matters in a story. Right. There's not usually like random irrelevant stuff that happens, you know?
Some stories happen, but yes.
I kind of appreciate those people who are writing these narratives and at the end don't try to tie everything in a bow. You know, don't be so like it feels a lot of books that do that or a lot of movies that do that to end up hurting the overall storyline. Imagine if they cut it off right there, then you're not actually able to like maybe envision for yourself what it could happen. If you're like trying to tie up all the loose ends and wrap it up in a nice bow, well, then you can't imagine what could happen, I guess.
Well, there is something to it to a degree, I would say, right? So like, let's go back to Lord of the Rings. The movie doesn't end with them coming out of the volcano and the rings destroyed, right?
Right.
Doesn't end there. It really could, though.
It right? could.
Because that's like the end of the plot, if you would consider that. Then it doesn't end, what is it? Aragorn becomes king? Or no, everyone reunites. Right. Doesn't end reunites. There. Aragorn becomes king. Doesn't end there. They go back to the Shire. Doesn't end there. They go to the ship and Frodo gets on and leaves. Doesn't end there. Sam goes home. And that's where it ends, right? Sam goes home to his family. But like, there's a couple
they
things
give it
with that.
Enough life, you know, to carry on, you know,
because in a way, one thing I saw someone say that was really cool was they're like, why doesn't the Lord of the Rings just end like here? And what they said was they were like, it's important to show the rebuilding process because it's easier to destroy something than it is to rebuild it.
1000%. Right? Yes.
And for them to show them trying to go back to their lives and like moving forward, they're like, that's really important to show people.
Well, especially with all that they've been through, it's a whole emotional journey, you know,
right,
to go back and then have to face all these things. For one, all the memories of what you had and then facing what it is now. I mean,
well, and then one of them can't stay, right?
Yeah, and one can't even stay.
He went through too much.
Pain.
He has to just move on. And in that sense, there is like kind of a bow on those endings, or like it is more closure, but also it wasn't just closure over here, right? It's like they went through this thing.
Yeah,
and even with
it's a little extra details. It's those little fine details that you need. It's not an abrupt like, we just got to tie it all together to make it work.
Right. Yeah. Like, I wasn't necessarily saying, like, everything needs to be tied up neatly or whatever. I just like that, like, when there's a... And it's very much unlike real life. When there's something that happens in a story, that thing usually has some impact on the story. As opposed to, like, real life where, like, that just isn't the case a lot of the time. Right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because real life, you know... Yeah, it's interesting because like I see where they're coming from, that like for the Stormlight Archive, like ending in book three, because there's kind of an arc there also at the end of book three.
Sure.
But then there is some of the arc gets resolved there and then some of it gets resolved in five. Right. Like if you imagine that, like some of it. But then like there's a continuation. I can kind of see that. Farm, did you watch Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I watched just about all the episodes.
I've talked about this on the podcast. I watched Battlestar Galactica again with my wife a long time ago now, like right before Johnny was born. And when we finished season three, at the end of that episode, I actually told her, I'm like, we're going to watch the whole thing. But like, honestly, this would have been a great ending to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have left things really open-ended and people would have hated it. But it would have been a good ending. But also, I felt it was really nice to still explore, right? This could have been some closure, but like we should still explore and keep going, right? Kind of a deal. But,
yeah,
you know, talking about exploring and closure, how about those BioWare layoffs, you guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
at least it wasn't Larian.
So BioWare now has under 100 employees, and it's because they're really, like, I guess, quote unquote, focusing on the kind of game that they want to make with the new, Mass Effect, I think?
I think they said they want to do Mass Effect, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of that is, like, apparently a response to the way that Veilguard was received. Or at least that's like what the, you know.
But I was under the impression that the game did really well as far as numbers and everything.
Apparently not so well. But like then again, like it's so hard to tell. Here's my problem with like the way that like games are evaluated nowadays is like, I mean, like there's a difference between expectations and actual like success, you know? I mean, because like success is essentially a determination based on expectations as opposed to how something actually did. So, I mean, like when it comes to like Ubisoft, for instance, every single game that they've put out lately has performed under expectations, so it wasn't a success. Despite some of those selling like, you know, millions of copies or whatever.
It's like their internal pie chart when it comes down to it, right. Like saying we've got to hit this or it's not, in our eyes as a company, a success.
Or like a couple years ago, that was Square Enix, right? With every game that Square Enix would put out, like same thing. So despite like some of those games actually being like massive commercial like hits, they were still not considered a success.
Winning all sorts of awards and everything and still.
Yeah. But, I mean, how much money do they spend in marketing and what are the budgets of these games that they put into the game?
Yeah, those are the things we don't see.
Right?
That's true too.
Like, how much are they, like, how much went into Veilguard? It's been in development for, what, 10 years? I mean, not that, at least that's when Dragon Age Inquisition came out. It was, like, 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, usually the next game usually starts fairly soon.
How much money did they sink into it and all that? But also, you know, BioWare, isn't BioWare owned by EA?
Yes, true. Yeah, it is.
How much
of
it
is not doing well overall?
How much of it is one big pot and EA is just doing layoffs where they can? Would be my question, right? Like, I mean,
it might not.
This is maybe going to make me sound so out of touch, but like, how did the last Madden game do? You know what I mean? How did the last whatever EA Sports game?
It's not FIFA anymore, but like, yeah, like their bread and butter has been like those FIFA games, which I think this is like the first or second year that they haven't had the FIFA license. And my understanding was that was a huge disappointment compared to expectations.
So.
Yeah, those.
If they need to do layoffs, they just had a game that came out at BioWare, right? So hey, let's just like lay off all of these employees. We're like restructuring around a new project,
right?
Exactly.
They're done.
Well, exactly, right? Like when you go project by project, this is an interesting thing of like not. So I guess I should start by saying like it's never fun to hear people losing their jobs. Of course not.
No.
But also, I feel like a lot of people. Nowadays, especially when you work in an industry that goes project by project, a lot of people get really caught up on, oh, look at, they laid off all these employees. But like, you know, they don't have another project that they're working on, or it's in these stages that they don't need that many people, right? So like, that is a part of it. I don't know anything about these layoffs and that stuff, of course. I just want to say that. But like,
yeah, there's some of that. When you there's have a also job some that's of project these employees. Project, yeah, some of the employees.
Something about it.
Some of them are just, like you said, per project, and they will literally be done and moving on to the next one anyways. And their resume is already out there. I'm not saying that we have to be callous to these sorts of things, but at the same time, sometimes that is part of the business in a sense. And that's just, I mean, that's kind of, even in my field of construction, that's kind of like what you do.
Right.
You go to the next job and you try to get the next one and you keep on going.
Sure. I think that there's an element of this that is cultural though too, because like, I feel like we see a societal cultural pendulum shift in terms of like what's like acceptable or what's like laudable, you know, in terms of like media specifically and like just in general like behavior or whatever. And Veilguard got a lot of criticism for being like way too quote unquote woke, you know, and there were some clippable things that like did seem a little bit like cringeworthy, you know, like possibly maybe not the best well written, you know, but like those also gained a lot of traction online, and unfortunately, online is where a lot of gamers live, you know? So, like, I'm sure that had an impact, too, in terms of also, like, people who dislike that tend to be very, very loud when they dislike things, right? And it's possible that BioWare took, like, that vocal response to heart, and decided, like, hey, we need to make some serious changes with, like, how we approach, like, the next Mass Effect. Because also, BioWare has not had a lot of good luck lately with games. Between Anthem, Veilguard, and like whatever else they put out lately. Years, I mean, like, right? Yeah.
I think, so, I mean, well, like, and even Dragon Age Inquisition faced, while it was well loved, it faced a lot of criticism by Dragon Age fans.
Right.
Right. It brought in a lot of new people.
From their perspective, it's.
I'm one of the new people it brought in.
For fail, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. So what's happened since Mass Effect 3? So BioWare was huge, you know, with KOTOR and then Mass Effect, some Dragon Age stuff. But even Dragon Age 2, people criticized that one too. Dragon Age Inquisition, you know, mixed, but I would say mixed leaning positive. You know, nowadays, of course, everyone loves it. But like when it came out, I remember playing Dragon Age when it came out 10 years ago. Inquisition is I'd never played a Dragon Age game and I loved it, and everybody I tried to talk to about it hated on it that played the other games.
Sure.
They were like, oh, the new Dragon Age, that game freaking sucks. Like, it's, you know, they dumbed it down too much for people.
Well,
you know,
so many people get it in their head as soon as it comes out, and if you get on that bandwagon, you can't talk to those people because they've already made up in their mind, whether they've actually tried it or not, that they're not going to like it, or they're going to hate on it just because.
I bought Veilguard. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I want to finish Ghosts of Tsushima, and I've been too busy playing Marvel Rivals. But
I also wonder, too, like timing-wise, too, I feel like there were a bunch of games that kind of dropped around the same time. And like, so I haven't even bought Veilguard yet, despite really wanting to play it, just because there's been other things, right?
Yeah, and I just bought it because of a Steam sale. Just I didn't even fully purchase it, right? Well, that and then there was Anthem.
Right.
You know, rip Anthem. That was going to be their next big thing.
Well,
and the game was fun. You know, it was fun. They just weren't able to give it the support that it needed, you know, for
looking at a larger scale. Like, also, when we're talking about EA, Immortals of Avium was also EA. It was an EA original or whatever. Really, actually, pretty good game. That just doesn't have any like live service, and like also like they did not know how to market that game at all. And to be fair, I don't know that I would either. Like the way that they described it was a shooter, but it's magic. And
I
it's
have
like,
no idea what you're even.
What
talking
does that
about.
Mean? Yeah,
you said Immortals of Avium. I'm thinking of. Do you remember that Breath of the Wild ripoff Greek god ones? What if Phoenix Rising or whatever? I know that's not the game you're talking about. That's the game I'm thinking of, though.
This is a
but
game
like,
that's
yeah, no, like from name
for a while.
And from like name down to like even like describing it, it's been a really hard sell. I really liked it. I just finished it like just the other day. If I had to rate it, I'd give it like a solid 8. Absolutely,
nice. Wow,
like it's really good.
But, I've seen it. I've seen it in the store. I've seen it all over.
Yeah.
And it's trying to find it. It was trying to find its feet, and it never could.
Yeah,
and I've got it.
The problem with it,
and that just studio got absorbed. That studio got shut down
it's
because it did so poorly.
Because there's these really good, like almost AAA title games that just
it looks
are
too
out there
generic.
And you don't get to play it. You know?
I'm looking at photos of it. The graphics look good.
Nobody knows about it. You know,
it's rough.
The graphics of it look good. It looks cool, but it just looks so. The name and looking at it. I can see why it didn't do well. It just looks like another...
Well, like, I put it off for, like, almost 2 years, I think. Maybe even longer before playing it because of that. But, like, actually playing it, it's like, no, this actually is interesting. This actually isn't generic. Like, it has a pretty good story. It has a pretty fleshed-out world. And just, like, just never sold. So, I mean, like, you know...
I want to bring up that BioWare... Probably BioWare's biggest deal is Mass Effect, right? I mean, I know KOTOR really helped them out, but, like, Mass Effect was huge.
Yeah, it's
talk about
a
generic sci-fi though of Mass Effect, right? Like the Mass Effect story is the story of every sci-fi anything.
But the thing is, people like what they like, and if it may be generic, but if people can, I mean that's what wins over people is almost being generic in a way. Unfortunately, but that's how.
And timing is everything, right? Like, when Mass Effect came out, how many other games really let you do, like, a full, like, Paragon or, like, Renegade playthrough and, like, had, like, the various other things that Mass Effect had, like, the skill wheel or whatever, like, for your different characters and your squad and everything? Like, I mean, there were a lot of features that, like, other games might have had a few of, but, like, it integrated them all pretty well together.
Usually that style of game would be only on PC, right?
Right.
I mean, this game came to consoles as well, and which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And being able to go over on these land crafts you know, like being able to travel into these worlds, it kind of immersed you in other places where RPGs hadn't gone there as much as prior. So, I mean, it had a lot of things going for it. And I really enjoyed my playthrough. I mean, it was, I think I played through it 10 years after the fact, but
right.
I mean, the first one is still, you know, playing 360 back compat on the Xbox One, I think at that time. I mean, it was still, you know, you could see the age on it, but it was still pretty good. And then once you got to 2 and 3, you could see, like, you know, cutting edge technology and everything was, you know, coming up. But I mean, it had some special things that other things didn't have. And I mean, I totally get it. But at the same time, it is that sci-fi. If you know, right. It's the generic sci-fi that you just got to find your feet. And once they did, they found the fan base, and now people love that. But until Andromeda, right?
But here's the problem, right? So Andromeda, people hate it. That's the next one, right? Andromeda, yeah. Which was before Anthem. I played Andromeda when it came out, and I had a bug that made it so I couldn't finish the game. I had a guy who was like stuck on a thing, and I didn't have a previous save I could reload to where he didn't get stuck. And I had to talk to him, you know, to finish the quest or whatever. It's a big problem. I came back to the game 2 years later. Bug had been fixed. That game was great. I loved that game. It was awesome. It got so much hate when it came out, and people hating, oh, it's not even really Mass Effect and oh, it's the worst. That game was awesome. And I'm actually super bummed. Like, are they continuing with the Andromeda story, or are they rebooting Mass Effect? Like, what's happening?
Rebooting. I almost guarantee it's a reboot. Like, I would put money down on it, you know?
Unfortunately, I feel like that's where the studios are.
The money
going.
Is.
Because unfortunately, and also this is Mass Effect, this is BioWare's like third strike, right? If they don't get Mass Effect right on this next one, like, they'll probably just be like either put on something and basically EA will just take control of them and put them on something else.
Probably just done.
Well, it's kind of like Halo thing at this point. You know, I mean, I feel like, okay, there's a resurgence here. They want, well, same thing with Gears is doing, you know, they're resetting in a way. It's like a soft relaunch for the next generation. And this is what they want for Mass Effect. I guarantee you it's what they're trying to do for Halo, you know, rebranding to Halo Studios. Same thing that Gears is trying to do. Instead of going to Gear 6, they're doing this prequel thing. It's like get all these people to come in who don't know anything about Gears. I can only assume that's what they're trying to do.
Well, and like, we now are pretty sure, right, that Gears, like the next Gears, will come to PlayStation at some point. Whether it's at launch or no, not, we don't know. But like, that makes sense then for them to do a soft relaunch.
We do know it's not coming to day one Game Pass, everybody, unless you pay the highest. We do know that for sure.
Yeah. And PC Game Pass day one.
I get what you're saying, D. I get what you're saying, because why wouldn't they wait until they can get it on all the platforms when they launch number 6?
Right.
You know, they want everybody to see it. Oh, and Visual Bit real quick. Really like your shirt there, David. Nice.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah.
Don't describe it. Don't describe it. Let's just leave it there. I like your shirt.
Because Xbox also just put Forza Horizon 5 on PlayStation, or they're about to, or something.
That's flagship. That's a tentpole, right?
Yeah. That's a tentpole. Yeah. So, I mean, like, there really are no red lines when it comes down to it. Which, like, we knew, like, now we kind of know, you know, they've kind of sort of finally started being clear about that. But, like, for a long time, we didn't know, and they kind of, like, had contradictory messages about. So, like,
Does anyone even play Forza? Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, driving games, why do they even Forza's still make those?
Like, Forza is not so just dumb. About the driving. It's to look at the beautiful cars.
Is it about family? If it's not about driving or family,
kind of.
I'm
it's
not
like,
interested.
Look at your family of cars.
I will say, the Forza... Fast and Furious crossover bit that they had for, like, I think, what, 3 or maybe 4? Yeah. I think it was 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was way better than the Fast and Furious game that came out.
Oh, man. Do you remember the Game Awards?
It is sad to say that, like, you know, there's all these layoffs. I saw on Blue Sky, one of the people out is, like, a writer who's been working for BioWare for, like, 20 years. Kind of a deal, or like maybe 15 years. He's worked across multiple platforms, and he's, you know, looking for a new job. He didn't seem super salty, but I will say I would love for another Mass Effect game to be available. You know what I mean?
I would too. Like, I don't think that they need to like do a soft reboot. You know? Because I feel like what they're going
to
do.
I don't think they have to do that either.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because I think what they're going to do is they're going to do the whole, like, you know, Shepard thing of, like, you saving the world or whatever again. You know? Like, I mean, like, kind of try to, like, recapture the lightning in the bottle for, like, this tone that they had going for the first trilogy. And I think it would actually be way more interesting to, like, try to capitalize on the tone of Andromeda and, like, more exploration vibe, you know? But,
yeah. Well, it's a little hard with, with rebooting. We're living in the age of reboots and sequels, right?
Right.
Pretty much.
That's just it. Yeah. And so we're going to get a reboot or a sequel and not reskins.
Not something new. Yeah. And that's kind of been the thing. I mean, we were talking about films. I had some friends over tonight. That's kind of actually one of the conversations we were having about, like, no original content. You know, it's just a lot of rehashing of the same stuff. And I really did love Andromeda. And
it was so
it was so good. And I didn't have any technical issues. So, I mean, I was playing through it and trying to figure out what everybody else was saying, you know, when it came down to it. And I just enjoyed the story. I enjoy the game mechanics just as much. I feel like it was, you know, right there neck and neck with, like, games that I like to play. And it felt like sci-fi, and it was drawing me into a different world.
It felt more, you know, Star Trek than Star Wars, right?
Exploration,
at this kind of stuff. Oh, interesting. Weird. It was so good.
Can I just say,
it had those moments, you know, where it opened up in these places where he's like, I've never been, you know, it's just like so fascinating, like almost like jaw dropping moments. I felt like, like, you just like, I feel immersed. I feel transported to this location. And it was just so cool.
As a quick tangent, can I just say how bittersweet it is to me? How, like, both I get it. I like it somewhat, but also it's kind of a little bit like disappointing to see, like, Star Trek be more, like, action-focused with, like, all their new projects and stuff. Like, some of it's really good, like, in terms of, like, the way that it's told and everything, and it's a good way of getting, like, people into the universe who weren't necessarily up for, like, the slow pacing of, like, previous Star Trek, like, iterations, but it's a very different tone. And it was, like, a tone that Star Trek had really to itself. Like, it was kind of, like, Star Trek's identity to an extent. And so, like, to see that, like, kind of shift, like, pretty significantly, like, is kind of almost, like, disappointing. Like, I don't know. Like, some of the stuff is really good, but,
I 100% agree, though. Star Trek was different, and it was about something else. It wasn't about action. It's not about whether or not Starfleet doesn't want to fight. That's the whole point of Starfleet. They're not soldiers.
Right. Well, they were kind of beating to a different drum, and now they're trying to compete in something that's not their element, you know. They were stronger.
They're not doing the Nintendo philosophy. They're trying to compete. But do you guys have any closing comments? We should wrap it up.
Speaking of reskins, Farmer, did you see the Halo news?
I have not.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What is that? What happened?
They're doing, like, a bunch of, like, they had their big update for, their big update, like, video on, like, what's coming to Halo now. They went into detail on how operations passes are going to work going forward, where, like, if you purchase the premium pass, you keep it forever, but otherwise, if you don't purchase it, you can't purchase it once it's gone. But the armor will still come to, like, the store, usually, shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Each premium pass will have a lot more value to it, like 4 suits of armor, one on the free tier, but 3 premium, which is pretty cool, I think. Like 50 levels for each pass now, too, which that's all cool. They're downgrading the strafe, finally, so that's not, like, 100%, so it'll be at, like, 78% or whatever, which I guess a lot of, like, players have been asking for a while.
They're this late in the game, they're changing the mechanics.
Yeah, like this, it's kind of wild.
This They're is adding a new the map. Nerdiest niche conversation. Oh, please continue. We're talking about the speed of strafing. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Going from a full 100 okay. to 78%.
Well, that's one of the few things that I always felt weird about Halo Infinite was how fast you side to side in comparison with like other Halo games.
Yeah, it was definitely quicker for sure.
Yeah, with the exception of Halo 5 where you had a jetpack.
Halo players that play Halo are listening to this right now.
The other thing they introduced a new map, I guess. They're adding, like, apparently, like, stunt jumps to some of the other maps and to the new map. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Farmer will love that. But they also brought a new gun. It's the Fuel Rod Spanker. All it is essentially... here's the issue, is instead of bringing an actual fuel rod into the game, they just reskinned the rocket launcher.
It's just a reskin. That's a downer.
So, like, everybody was super excited, and then they, like, you revealed it, and then everybody was like, oh, come on.
It's like, why'd you even call it that, or skin it like that, you know?
A
lot of people are like, wow, this could have absolutely just been like a store thing, like literally just a literal skin that you buy in a store. Like, I mean, like, why make this its own weapon?
Why hype this up to do this? Yeah, that
especially like because like tasteful. When you shoot like the fuel rod, like ammo or whatever, it just acts like a rocket. It just goes straight or whatever.
Yeah, just like the mechanics.
It doesn't bounce. Like a fuel rod. Yeah,
Oh, that's so disappointing. So, because I was excited there for a second when you said fuel rod.
Yeah,
it had me going there for 2 seconds.
But also, they probably don't have that many people still working on Infinite at this point. You know, like they probably have a pretty skeleton crew.
I know they've definitely scaled back, and you know they're not doing really Infinite's done except for the multiplayer stuff. You know, they're doing some maps like you're saying. They're going to be pushing out some content to keep people satisfied up until the next project. You know, releases.
The thing I'm most excited about is they're bringing Assault finally. So, like, that's cool because that's my favorite game mode. So, I'm about that. But
that's unfortunate as for the fuel rod. But everything else sounds pretty good. And I was actually thinking, maybe about doing a Halo night on my birthday. So,
that'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
It's really sad to hear, and I mean, you're totally right of like, oh, probably there's nothing really planned like for Infinite, right? Like they're basically done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is sad. Especially with all the potential there. Like they hurts. Have the bones of it. Yeah.
I know. David and I have had this conversation. I mean, you and Johnny and I mean, we all have had this conversation, but I mean, it is where it is. I just have to, you know, move on, but
it's just a bummer,
so many things that could have happened with what they have, you know, in that open world in Halo Infinite, and it's just so much lost potential, and it hurts, but gotta move on.
That's where it's at. That's such a bummer.
Yeah,
so you heard it here. The title for this episode is Move On from Halo.
Move on to the next.
Move on to the next thing. Guys, make sure to like or follow or do, you know, you've been listening to podcasts. You know what you're supposed to do to help us out. So that I'd appreciate it. But also, do check out, we have a store, guys, anavsier.com/store. I don't even think that's the URL, but it's there. There is a store somewhere. You can find
store.anavsier.com, I think.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.